I hope you have your Bible open to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. I am proud to say that I'm preaching out of my daughter Becky a Bible she gave me, and it's got C.H. Sermons preaching notes, a few, and a few comments of his in here, beautiful letter, and I'm preaching out of that Bible that my daughter Becky gave me, and I sure appreciate that. I sent her a text and told her I was preaching out of it tonight. And I want to thank God I got three daughters that love Jesus, and they love Daddy too. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, I want to talk to you for just a little bit. As a Christian, there's some things we ought to know how to treat other Christians. We'll know how to do it. And don't jump ahead of me. I'm not going to preach what you probably think I'm going to preach. So let's read chapter 6, verse 10. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. He says to do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. In other words, fellow believers. In order to do good to other believers, we have to know that all believers are not the same. Now, I know I get accused of being too old-fashioned or too rigid or Pharisee, and then another crowd calls me too liberal and all this stuff. But you've got to learn how to treat people. And one thing Jason Coley taught me. Now, he never preached this sermon, but he taught me some of this. You see, I got saved in a church where it was all about salvation. I got saved. I was so happy to be saved. My pastor, preacher, Falkenberry, preached people down the aisle about every service. People got saved. People got baptized. And I was so happy to be there. And then my second pastor that I served under, Dr. Wayne Smith, he taught Bible doctrine. Every sermon just about that he preached was Bible doctrine. It just taught it straight down the line, and I needed that. That was good for me. And then my last pastor, Pastor Jason Coley, he taught me how to love people just the way they are. Because, see, if all you do is think about people being saved, you're going to be trying to get everybody saved when a lot of people are already saved. If all you do is think about doctrine, you're going to start putting people in that mold of that doctrine that you know that they may not even know. And then, so you got to learn how to love people at whatever stage in life they are in. See? And that's what he's telling us to do here, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, there's three kind of believers, and you can't treat every believer the same. You can't do it. And I know there's a lot of novices, and I used to be one myself. A novice means a beginner that doesn't know a whole lot, and I used to be one myself. And they'll judge everything, and they'll judge everybody, and they set a standard. And usually it's a pretty high rail to get over. They'll set a standard, and if you don't meet their standard, then you're not saved according to them, or you're not a good Christian. But what we have to... look, we need to go back. We need to understand this. We got to know how to do good, not only to everybody, but especially those of the household of faith. Now, if I don't know that people are at different levels and I treat them all the same, I'm not always going to be treating somebody good.
Amen.
So there's three kinds. And we're to know how to treat these people that are believers in these three stages. Now, don't get ahead of me. Hebrews chapter 5. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Now, the first stage, and of course you already know what the first stage is, but let's see what the Bible says, okay? Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. He says, For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, 1 Peter 1:2, and most of you already know it, you don't have to turn there, is newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So that tells me there's a group of people who need the milk of the word, and they desire the milk of the word so they can grow. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit there in Hebrews, I think he wrote Hebrews, you say whoever you want to, it's either him or Jack Hiles, I don't know which one it was, but he said, now there's some people that ought to be eating meat and they're not, they're still drinking milk. But he said, then there's other people who are eating meat because they know how they've exercised their senses, their spiritual senses, so they can discern both good and evil. But then he says, but there's one group that's a babe, and the babe cannot discern very well. I remember my oldest daughter, Suzanne. I hope she's watching. I love to talk about my kids when I'm preaching and embarrasses them. But I remember when she was a little girl, we lived in that little house over there in Rock Hill, and I loved grits, and my kids loved grits, and my wife was cooking a pot of grits, and Suzanne, little girl, reached up there and grabbed the handle and pulled those grits down and blistered her hand like real bad. We had to take her to the doctor and everything real bad. Now, she didn't know any better. She didn't know any better. She didn't know what that was. And so she got in trouble because she did not know how to discern good from evil. That was undoubtedly a bad thing to do, but she didn't know the difference. And babes in Christ are the same way. They don't always know what they're doing, just like you didn't. Just like I did. When we were physically babes, we had to have somebody to guide us and teach us into what was good and bad. And there are Christians who are babes. They haven't been saved long. And I don't expect them to dress always the way they ought to dress. And I don't expect them to behave always the way they ought to behave. And I don't expect them to be a first-class church member if they just got saved. I had to grow into it. We didn't. I didn't get saved and just start going to all the services all at one time. We had to grow into that. I didn't get saved and start going to Sunday school all of a sudden. We had to grow into that. I didn't get saved and start reading my Bible regular every day like I ought to. I had to grow into that. So you can't judge babes. You shouldn't look at a baby and say, you ought not be doing that. You ought not be. Well, they don't know any better than that. They're babes.
Amen.
There's a lot of Christian babes. And I don't beat up babies. I don't beat up Christian babes. Now, I'll preach the truth, and if I throw the rock and it hits them, that's between them and the Lord. But I'm not going to say you can't come to church like that unless it's really, really, really bad. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to say, no, you and her can't come to church. I know you just got saved, but you ain't living right because you ain't even married. No, I'm not going to do that. No, no, no. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to lead them. I'm going to guide them into right.
Amen.
Because they're just babes. They're just growing. And they come. They're desiring the milk.
That's right.
I did when I first got saved. I wasn't automatically. It took me a year to quit smoking. The only reason I did it then is because a man said he wouldn't listen to me talk to him about the Bible as long as I smoked. So by the grace of God, it took me a while, but I quit smoking. Sure. Now, there's some things automatically stop, you know. But then there's other things that you have to grow into. Now, I see these young preachers, they get on Facebook and they beat up everything. They beat up everybody. You know, it's a sin to chew a certain color of chewing gum. You know, they got a law for everything. And they're expounding that law. And I know people's got to learn these things. I know they need somebody to tell them. But we ought to especially be good, he says, to those of the household of faith. And beating somebody up every time they make a mistake is not being good to those of the household of faith. Now, you got to grow a little. Then you grow a little more. Then you grow a little more. I've been saved since 1978. I don't expect somebody that got saved a year ago to know as much as I know about the Bible. I don't expect them to know as much about Christian living as I do about Christian living. If they didn't pay their bills last week before they got saved and they got saved this week, they still ain't going to pay their bills.
Yep.
I'm going to use this one. I know nobody wants to hear this one because you're locked up at the house eating everything you put your eyes on. Gluttony is a sin. But I don't expect a man or woman to come in here that is a glutton and they're eating themselves to death and their health shows it. I don't expect them to give up everything but water and crackers all of a sudden. I expect them to grow into it. Not tithing is a sin. But I don't expect people that's been saved 6 months or some, maybe even a year to understand what tithing is. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
They're babies. You don't walk over and kick the baby and say, "You sorry, baby."
Right.
Don't you know better than that? No, they don't know any better than that. That's why God gave them pastors and preachers and teachers.
Amen.
Don't assume everybody knows what you know. They don't. My wife taught me that. I used to get mad. I'd be preaching. I'd go home mad. I'd say, "They ain't listening to me. They don't understand what I'm saying. I just don't understand it. I don't know why they don't see it." And she says, "Well, everybody don't know what you know. You got to tell them. Got to be more plain about it." So I got more plain about it, and people got mad at me. And I said, "Talk to my wife." I'm teasing. I didn't. But look, he says that we ought to be. We ought to. How did he say it now exactly? He said, "As we have therefore opportunity. As we have opportunity." If you'll see somebody in your church that is not where they ought to be spiritually, and I don't care, just like it says here, I don't care if they've been saved 20 years, if they're still living like a babe, somebody needs to help them. Somebody needs to teach them. Somebody needs to bring them along. So when you see one, instead of beating them to death, you have an opportunity to share what you know so they can grow too. So as you see the opportunity, you do good. You don't beat them up. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying okay all these sins. I'm not saying okay living wrong. I'm not shacking up or not paying your tithes. But I'm saying people have to grow into things. They're not automatic Christians. They're saved by grace through faith. Don't get me wrong. But a Christian is a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, and a disciple is somebody that follows the teaching of Jesus Christ. And you can't get it all in one sermon or one Sunday school lesson or one Bible reading or one Wednesday night service. These people have to grow. And some of them may already be grown physically, but spiritually they're babies and they need somebody to feed them some milk. I've been to these churches, man. I've been to churches in my years, and man, they just beat people up. Bless God, that's their favorite saying. You don't have to bless God; He's already blessed. And I wouldn't have, if a woman walked in my church with a pair of britches on, I'd run her off. Well, you ain't right with God. Well, if man come into my church with a ponytail, I'll run him off. You ain't right with God. You're the one that's childish. You need to start seeing an opportunity to help people become better disciples. Number one, if I'm going to know how to treat people, I need to recognize everybody is not the same in their spiritual growth. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, if you look that up, Old English means mature, grown up, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, we've already grown, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I've told you often and now I tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And I want you to notice that I press toward, I leave behind, he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, there's an immature believer who is grown physically but not grown spiritually, and they're not babies, they're past baby, but they're not mature like they ought to be, because they've not left some things behind and pressed on. And a lot of them have stopped in their Christian growth, and they are immature because they're not mature completely, and they've gotten kind of comfortable there. And he warned us about those people. They're carnal. And now, that doesn't mean that immature people are lost. It means they're immature. Now, just because a 30-year-old acts like a 15-year-old does not mean he's not a 30-year-old. It just means he's not acting his age. That was good. Write that down. Now, it's the same way with believers. There's a lot of believers who could be mature, but they're not acting their age. They're immature. They mind earthly things. They're real believers. They've really been born again. They've gone past the milk. But they haven't given up childish things, spiritually childish things. They haven't laid it down. They haven't pressed on. They forgot to look at the mark ahead they're supposed to be following. Instead, they've gotten stuck and they're immature. You have to get a baseball player to come give a testimony to get them to move. You got to get a football player to come sign a football and give it away for a prize to get them to come to Sunday school. You got to have a big meal on the ground after church to feed their flesh so you can feed their spirit. They're immature. They've not grown. They're looking childish as spirituality is concerned. They might be 50 years old, but they're acting like they just got saved 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago or 2 years ago, when in actuality they've been saved for many years, and they know what's right, and they know what is childish, and they know what's not childish, but they've decided to stay childish in some area. And when we look at them, if you don't watch out, you'll say they're lost. When they're not lost at all, they're immature. They're not even backslidden. They've gone where they wanted to go, and they've stopped. They haven't backed up. They're exactly where they want to be. That's carnal. That's not backslid. Backslid is when you go back from what you know. You go back from what you are. These people have went as far as they wanted to go, and now they see that prize of the high calling, but they don't go any farther because there's something childish in their spiritual life that they don't want to give up. It might be the praise band. I look for them to start blowing bubbles in the church next. I look for them to start throwing a beach ball out there and bouncing around while the choir sings. Well, they don't have choirs anymore. I forgot they took the choir loft out. While the, I don't even know what they are, not praise band, but group, whatever they have. But look, they know what's right, but they don't want to go any farther because they're having a whole lot of fun. They're immature. I'm not going to say they're lost. Because they say they're saved and they profess the name of Christ. And the only way you can do that is by being a believer in Christ or be a liar and a hypocrite. And so I'm going to look at people and I'm going to say, well, there's a baby. They haven't, they just got saved. They're moving a little bit. So I'm going to be patient with them. And I'm going to look at this other crowd and I'm going to say, well, I can't treat them like I treat him, because this crowd over here, they know better than what he is doing, and they're doing it too.
Right.
That's immaturity. A lot of people are so immature that they whimper and whine and cry and complain, just like a little old baby. But they're not babies. They've been saved a long time. And they're not backslid. They're better than they used to be, even though they do give us trouble. They're better than they used to be. If you put them on the spot, they could give a testimony. And if you put them on the spot, they could probably quote a scripture or two, but they're not going any farther because there's something childish about them that refuses to let go of that popsicle or that candy apple, whatever it might be. Now, they're immature. I'm not going to treat them like a babe in Christ. I'm going to treat them like a Christian that needs to grow up. And when you look at your children, when you raise your children at home and they get to be teenagers, but they're acting like they're 10, you're a little more stern with them than you are a 10-year-old. Amen. That's when I can preach hot and heavy. It won't bother me a bit. Grow up. Get right with God. Go on. Move on. Lay it down, pick it up, whatever it is. Look, immaturity means that they've not grown to adulthood, even though they've been saved a long time. Now, I'm not going to treat them like I would. When Thomas first come here, he was a babe in Christ.
Amen.
He was a babe in Christ. A lot of things he didn't know. When Kenneth, who brags on our church so much now, when he first come here and gave his life to Christ, he was a babe in Christ. He said every time he come to church before he got right with God, I scared him. Cause I'm mature and a grown in Christ. And that would scare a little lost sinner that didn't know any better. And then after he got saved, he stopped seeing me as a threat and more of as a father figure, spiritually speaking. So immaturity is another way. We have to treat people different who are immature. And sometimes you'll look at your teenager and you'll say, no, we're not doing that. I don't care how much you cry. I don't care how much you complain. You're not doing that. That's immaturity. Now, so I'm going to treat them better. I mean, different than I do the baby. I'm going to treat the baby better than I do the immature. As far as patience and long suffering and all that. And we've all been immature at some time. Now, I can't look at the immature Christian. Went in the Bible bookstore up here in town one day, and I was standing behind this man, but I didn't know it was a man. I thought it was a woman. And had the most beautiful curly perm. I'm just beautiful curly perm all the way. Just beautiful dripping like with oil or something on it, you know. And had on these... all I could see was from the back. And had on this real tight shirt that you would have thought would be a blouse, I guess, on a woman more than on a man. And then had on these rhinestone jeans that had the pockets with big old pockets with rhinestone on them, you know. And ripped all up and down the legs, you know. You can see the threads. And they buy them that way. Tell me that ain't immature. They buy them that way. Go buy you some good jeans, bring them over to the house, pay me $10, I'll tear them all to pieces. I'll put oil on them if you want me to. But listen to this. When he thanked the woman at the counter and turned around, I was shocked. And she said this, thank you, Pastor, for doing business with us. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I didn't say it, but I thought, Pastor? Pastor? If he's that immature, what does his church look like? How do they behave? Well, preacher, you're judging. No, I know what immaturity looks like, and you do too. Let's quit making excuses for them. I can make excuses for the baby, but I can't make excuses for the immature.
Amen.
Now, and then also in Hebrews chapter 6, if you'll turn there, another type of believer, the baby believer, the immature believer. And in Hebrews chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 1 through 3. And you've read this so many times, and somebody taught you it meant you could lose your salvation. It does not. Here's what it means. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Or I said that word, look it up. It can be maturity, means same thing. Now he said, we're going to leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ. In other words, Brother Thomas, we got that settled. We don't beat on that no more. We got that settled. We can leave and go on to something else. Let us go on under perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We don't have to repent of that anymore. And of faith toward God, He gave us the faith now. We're not just staying on that. Okay, we're going to leave the principles, the basics of Christianity, Jesus Christ, how He's born, how He lived, what He did, how He resurrected, how we're saved through that. And we're going to leave that doctrine of repentance, turning from sin and turning to Him. You've already done that. You only do that one time. And we're going to go on. We're going to go on. We're going to grow up, He said. A lot of people never make it that far, but we are. We're going to do it. In verse 2 of the doctrine of baptism, well, you've been baptized. Let's go on. And laying on of hands. Okay, we laid hands on you. We prayed for you. Let's go on. And of resurrection of the dead. It's coming. He did. He's our example. He's the first begotten. We'll follow Him. Let's go on. And of eternal judgment. Well, we've got out from under the eternal judgment, so let's go on.
Right.
Let's go on. And this will we do if God permit. You know what He's saying? Grow up. Mature. Grow up. Mature. Let's go on. Let's go on. Okay. Well, you got saved. Alright. You believed on Jesus. Okay, okay. You turned from your dead works. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. They prayed over you. Laid hands on. Praise God. You got baptized. Praise God. Now let's go on. There's more to the Christian life than getting saved every week.
Amen.
Grow up. Let's mature. Let's go on. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm talking about being mature now, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, look at it. So I'm not going to treat the mature believer the same way I treat the immature believer, because they haven't left the repentance of dead works and the baptisms and all these things. I'm going to treat him different than I treat the baby, because the baby barely does understand what they just did by being saved. I didn't understand what I did. I didn't know anything about virgin birth. I didn't know much about a sinless life of Christ. I didn't know much about resurrections or raptures. He doesn't know all that, so I'm not going to treat him the same way I do the immature believer who knows all that but does nothing with it. And I'm going to grow up. I'm going to go on with Christ. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come into what? Unity of the faith. All three of these will get together after a while. If we treat each other like we ought to, we'll all end up the same place. Same kind of people.
Amen.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ will be Christians, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're not going to be fooled by that crowd no more.
Amen.
But speaking the truth in love. We tell people things. I don't hate you because I tell you the truth. I don't hate you because you're a baby and I don't want you to grab that pot of grits. I don't hate you because you're a baby and you don't know how to dress yet and I'm trying to help you look like a Christian. I don't hate you because you are a Christian and you know better and you're doing some of this stuff anyway. I don't hate you. I love you.
Amen.
And when you get mature, you'll start thinking like that. When you grow up in Christ, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. What's all things? Well, all these things, the doctrines, the faith, the resurrections, the baptisms, the laying on of hands, all these things. And we'll grow up, see, becoming the disciples. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, I'm not going to beat his baby up. That ain't my baby. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to tell you what I tell these people around here. And sometimes they get mad at me. If your child's in my church and they're cutting up and acting immature, I'll call them down. That's right. I'm the shepherd around here. I'll call them down because they're being immature. And if you ain't going to do it, somebody's got to call them down. Well, I bet there ain't many likes on that one. But it ought to be the same way with grown believers. If they're acting immature, we'll look at them and say, you ought not be acting like that. You ought not be saying that. You ought not be doing that. Some of the hardest times I've ever had. My wife sit me down and said, I need to tell you something. I said, oh boy, here it comes. She straightened me out, but I'm glad she did. Now, from whom the whole body fitly does what? Joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. In other words, every one of us, the baby, the immature, and the mature, all of us have something to give to the body of Christ. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. In other words, every part's got to work together the right time, the right way, maketh increase of the body. That means more people will come into the body, more will be saved, unto the edifying of what? Itself in love. Now, the church, the babe, the immature, and the mature, when we come together in Christ, we all have something to offer each other as a body of Christ, and we'll come together, and the church will edify itself through the members who are us, babe, immature, and mature. But you got to remember, every part's different. And that little finger right there, I broke that one time on a drill press. I had a pair of gloves on and it caught that spindle and that thing whooped it around and took that finger right there. And I took that glove off and that finger was laying right on top. See that fingernail, Thomas? That fingernail was laying right there. And it was upside down, twisted up and laying right there. I broke that thing right there, broke it. I still can't hold a penny or a dime with that hand. It goes right through that hole down there. We all got something to offer. Even that little finger in the body of Christ is important. Every babe is important. Every immature believer is important. Every mature believer is important. But we need to know how to treat one another. All are saved, but all are not the same. And when we make judgments on believers' actions, we must know where they are in their Christian life. You can't judge a babe in Christ the same way you judge a mature person in Christ. That's two whole different judgments. I know some of you saying, thou shalt not judge. We make righteous judgments every day and we're commanded to. I don't know who's saved and who ain't, but I can tell you who ain't acting like it and who is.
True.
We've got to know where people are in their Christian life in order to use it to edify the church. See, I can preach to that babe and it'll bless everybody in this church.
Amen.
I can preach at that immature one, right? And it'll edify everybody in this body. And I can preach to the mature one and it'll edify the babe and the immature and the mature in the body and it'll grow the body. More will be saved because of the way we treat each other. You know you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. Preachers say, we're having a backdoor revival. I don't want one of those. I work too hard to get them in the front door. Amen. People say, well, I'm glad they left. I ain't. Listen, everybody's important. And when you're making judgments on other believers' actions, you must know where they are in the faith. Then instead of condemning them or writing them off, maybe you could help them.
Wow.
Amen. And don't write off those old ones either. Those old mature saints, they got a lot to offer. I tell you what, John Coley's church will miss him when he goes to heaven. I don't think they know that. I think a lot of young ones that don't know that. But when we were there, we knew that. And you need to honor people. You honor the mature, you honor the immature, you honor the babe, and you love them in Christ. And you don't always agree with them. And you don't always like the way they are, but then you remember where he brought you from,
right,
and where you are in your Christian life. And then you love one another. And I'll guarantee you, instead of destroying the church, it'll build up the church. It'll build up the church. Amen. And that's the Bible. What are you going to do with it?